impressive thing to talk about today. I've got Simon Secker. He is the head gardener at the Brabham Research Centre. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Susie.
Very nice to have you here. Now, we often hear huge, amazing things about the Brabham Research Centre, how world-leading research into understanding biology of how our bodies work. And it's all about research, huge research, and they're doing an amazing job there. But we don't get to hear about the beautiful grounds and the sort of, as you were saying before, it's the backstage of
yes.
that whole area, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's the grounds can be seen from the main road and from the controlled access paths, the multi-user paths that we have there now. But you don't actually get to see the grounds very well, very close up, but only the people who work there get to see the grounds.
How big are the grounds, actually, Simon?
About the whole campus is about 2,000.
Wow.
With the farmland adjacent to it.
2,000 acres?
2,000 acres, whoa. And there's about 250 acres of that is the actual campus, where the laboratories are and the areas that we maintain. So
yeah.
There's a lot of plants, there's a lot of trees.
And if we go back to just have a little bit of take on the actual Brabham Hall, that is a very, very old place.
Yes, very, very old building. The style it is at the moment, that was completed sort of around about the 1840s for the Yadin family. And they were in, that was a private house, they were in residence till about 1948, just after the Second World War. And ever since, it's been a research campus for mostly agriculture to start with, but now it's more cancer research and anti-aging research. There's about 60 companies working there now, so it's very busy.
It is very busy, yeah. And it is very impressive. And as we say, you know, it's a very respectful and fantastic, majestic building, but equally majestic, of course, is the grounds, and that's why you're here. You are head gardener.
I'm senior gardener.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Senior gardener. Let me get that right, actually. Yes, senior gardener, quite right. And how long have you been doing this job, Simon?
Well, I've been at the research campus for... I think this is my sixth year now.
Wow.
Yes, but I've been in horticulture ever since leaving school. So I've come from a tree surgery, woodland management background to done soft landscaping with different companies and sort of now approach this gardening, so to speak. But I prefer myself as a horticulturalist.
Ah, as so, opposed to a...
Well, gardener to me is someone who just tends a plot.
Yes.
Whereas a horticulturalist is a broad knowledge of trees and shrubs and lawns and everything and anything that is basically green or anything that sort of involves insect life or the wildlife.
So I was going to ask you, actually, do you know every single plant?
No.
No. impossible to do that?
I don't think anybody knows every single plant because there's absolutely... hundreds of thousands of different plants, so I don't think anybody knows every single one. But
yeah. And what attracted you to the Brabham Research Centre, the gardens, the campus? Why did you want to work there?
Well, I knew of the campus itself, but I'd never been in the campus until I had my job interview, and I thought, wow, this is an amazing place. There's three walled gardens still in situ that have remained from when the hall was in private hands. Two have been planted into a sort of cottage garden theme. So it's manageable and it looks nice all the year round. And then there's another wall garden that has been planted up as an orchard. And all the apple species, mostly apple species, are all local ones. So we sort out all the East Anglian types of varieties of apple.
And where do these apples go then? Do they...
Well, most
are they
them,
munched by everybody working
yes,
there?
Yes, mostly.
Really?
Yes, yes. Mostly, most people sort of help themselves, or we have a few. But yeah, anybody in the know where it is, they can help themselves. And some are dessert apples, some are cooking apples.
Wow.
Some are the sort of small crab apple types, and people make jams and jellies out of them. So there's a real community of...
So would you say that they're quite self-sufficient then, this campus? So can they feed themselves?
Not quite, unless you want to live on apples. No, I don't think you can be self-sufficient. There is allotments on site for anybody who's interested, but we don't personally grow vegetables ourselves because we're there to maintain the beds and borders. And most of our planting sort of, we try and use the plants to encourage a lot of wildlife, because there's a lot of flowering plants that are very good for bees and all the pollinating insects, which in turn help everything else.
So is that a mission then? Do you have a mission in the grounds? Not garden. Gosh, it's certainly not a garden. It's grounds.
It's grounds. Definitely grounds. Yes. Well, we do try to plant things that will aid. Most flowering plants look nice to the human eye, and of course they look nice to the insect eye as well. So that encourages the insect life, that encourages the bird life, and we have hares on the parkland. They're in resident. You know, you can guarantee a hare every day.
Wow!
We have buzzards. We have red kites fly over. We've actually put out small wildlife cameras, and we've had badgers and otters filmed on the campus, which is, you know, a real boost.
Actually, when you say filmed, have you had experts come along to the campus requesting to watch all the wildlife?
Or? Not experts, no, but we mostly do it ourselves, because you can get these little wildlife field cameras and put them anywhere, and we've seen droppings of various animals, and we know they're in resident or they're passing. And of course, we've got the river that goes past the campus, which you can walk past with a footpath.
Wow.
And like I say, we've got otters in there, we've got trout in there, kingfishers. You could see a kingfisher every day if you were in the right place, but it's just being in the right place. But
what about your team, Simon? How many on your team?
Well, the estates team, number 11. Most of the estates team look after the bigger grounds, whereas the garden side of things, where that's there's three full-time staff and one summer help at the moment. We maintain all the beds and borders around the buildings. There's been six laboratories built in the small term that I've been there, so it's nearly one a year.
Wow.
Two recent ones have been built. There's about 30,000 individual plants and trees, not 30,000 trees, but 30,000 individual plants on the soft landscape around these buildings. Luckily, that were all planted by a landscape company based in St Ives. So
that with complete relief.
Yes, we weren't luckily involved with planting. We will be involved with maintenance of them, but we won't be involved with the planting, but that would have been very backbreaking putting all them in.
And are there any hidden gems on the site that you absolutely adore, or is everything fantastic?
Well, everything's fantastic. It's nice that the campus is set around ancient woodlands, and it's sort of in a rural position, and there's a lot of the people that visit and a lot of the science that's taken on there. People and the companies enjoy coming to the site. They enjoy it because there's a lot of space, there's a lot of green, there's a lot of trees, there's a lot of wildlife, and that's what people like.
Mm.
You know, some of these campuses or these research places are on a industrial unit, and there's like concrete and tarmac everywhere, whereas us is just completely different. But the wildlife and the trees, there's probably been about 150 trees planted in my time that we've had control with, plus the trees that were planted with the plantings around all the laboratories that have been put up in the last, well, in my time, last 6 years. But the comments we get from visitors that the grounds are so nice, they're so well kept, they're so green. We still want to improve them. The gems I like, I'm coming from my sort of tree background. There is two or three very large Wellingtonia trees, and these trees were of fashion sort of mid to late 1800s, and they've been planted, and they've probably been there for 150, 200 years.
Wow.
But being a Wellingtonia, they are 100 foot tall. They're huge trees, and one of them you can get very close to on the multi-user path. But
yeah, actually let's talk about the multi-user path, because mm-hmm. this is access for us, the public. It's a multi-use park, and it opened up in 2017, so we can cycle, we can walk, and you were saying we can even ride.
Yes, that your multi-use path is for horses as well, so there's a large wide grass strip beside the path which can be used by the horse and fraternity. So we can walk, we can cycle, and you can cycle all the way from Bayburn Village through the parkland itself, and then that joins the cycle path down to 1307 to Addenbrooke. So there's a big link.
But what before that? You didn't have access. We didn't have access to it,
still? There was the footpath, which is the other side of the river. So you could see it from the other side of the river, but you couldn't see it as close as that multi-user path. That multi-user path, like you say, was put in 2017. It's just an extra thing there to show to the public that we are here. We are not trying to hide from anybody. We are medical research, and you're welcome to cross the path and go onto your way to Cambridge or onto Babram Village if you wish.
But that is great.
Yeah, it is great, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I like the idea, you were talking earlier about people that actually work on the site are doing all this magnificent research work. Aesthetically, it must be fantastic for them to work and look out to see these gardens.
Yes, exactly. You know, every window you're looking out onto parkland or a tree or a large bed of herbaceous plants, you know. Or if you're not, you're lucky enough to walk out of the office and you can walk through the walled gardens, and the walled garden, one of them is very close to the Babram Church, so you've got the church in the background with the walled garden. It's such a fantastic place to be.
Yeah.
If you are based in a laboratory all the time, you know, you're coming out, you're sharing the, not today because it's a bit wet, but you're sharing the sunshine with all these trees, plants and wildlife, and it's just
fantastic. Thinking about it, how do you water something like, if you've got a drought, how do you have sort of watering systems? I mean, it's massive.
Well,
it's not my garden.
It's so massive that we can't.
No.
Otherwise, we'll be watering 24/7.
So you pick plants that don't...
We do pick plants that don't need so much water. We're picking plants that we know will grow on the conditions, the soil, the aspect, the rainfall. We do water in newly planted plants and trees, but it's more leave it to nature and not nurture. Mm. So we're not trying to grow pineapples or grapefruit. We are growing oak trees. We are growing beech trees. We are growing plants that we know will cope with the weather, with the water conditions. So it's not as difficult as if you wanted to grow something really tropical, which we know won't take. So there's...
And I'd like to just touch on... I know that you have done... You did this when, you know, you've trained to be a horticulturist, mm-hmm. which I think is very, very impressive. Do you find this job a big worry sometimes, or do you think this is, I mean, it's a huge responsibility, but do you find that you worry about nature sort of taking over, or do you think?
Not really, because we like, in some places, there's wildflowers that we allow to grow. So there's areas of the lawns that if there's a group of, we have bee orchids on site, which aren't that rare, but they're rarely seen because they like to grow on grassland. Now, the majority of grassland is mowed, so people don't see them because they get mowed over. We have a lot of foxgloves. We have a lot of primroses, that sort of thing, come up naturally. So if it's in an area that we know it will take and look fine, we leave it. So there's no point trying to fight nature because that's just fighting a losing battle, really, if you're trying to fight nature. But it's just such a nice open area, so green, although there is 1,200, 2,000 people there sometimes. You don't really see 2,000 people.
No, not in grounds like that.
No, and you can lose them. Okay, they're based in the labs or they're there for the conference centre. There's a new conference centre built about 2 years ago. And that is open for use by any company. Companies can rent it for conferences. So we could have an extra 200-300 people that we use they've never been there.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't never seen the site before. So it's open to a lot of visitors, and a lot of visitors do share the same thoughts that it's such a beautiful green place to go to.
Yeah, what an amazing place to work for. Simon Secker, Senior Gardener, say it. Senior Gardener, get that title right. It's been lovely having you here. I'd like to get you back and talk about more about what goes on.
It'd be nice to do a seasonal thing, I think.
Yeah, find out. Because
there's so much there, even the winter time. People think, you know, the gardens, there's nothing to do in gardens in winter, but there's so much to do all year round. We, you know, in the winter we have pruning projects, we have maintenance projects, and summertime it's a lot of maintenance with the boards and borders and beds and the grassland. But a seasonal chat would be nice.
I think nice that maybe the people working the research find out what's going on there, because they're working 24/7 and sometimes they get to hear. And
yes.
But thank you so much indeed,
thank
Simon Secker, Senior Gardener at the Brabraham Research Centre. And hopefully we'll be hearing more from him. Thank you so much.
Thank you.